Well, I don't see compassion as being something that belongs, if you want to put it that way, to the yes side only. I would see it on both sides. And that interests me. I think that both many people on the yes side and on the no side are compassionate. They're compassionate about women in crisis pregnancy situations, especially women, you know, who've been raped or victims of incest and so on, or women who have unborn children who are seriously ill or disabled and so on. I think we all would feel a very genuine compassion for those women and their situation. So I think that's interesting that the motive isn't the difference between the two sides as I see it, although I think that's maybe how the yes side might be portraying it, that the no side lacks compassion. The difference is, what do you do with that compassion? In other words, what does that compassion lead you to suggest to help? And the difference there is huge, because on the no side, there's a very firm rejection of abortion as the solution, because abortion is seen to be unjust in itself, very unfair, destructive, not a matter of healthcare at all, really. And therefore, people on the no side would be very compassionate and want women in crisis difficulties, you know, to be helped insofar as they can be, but always in a way that's ethical, in a way that's inclusive, in a way that's really just. So I kind of respect the yes side's motive. I think genuinely many people on the yes side are motivated by, you know, a real desire to help and a real sense that women are in difficulties. And even people who I think know deep down that abortion is wrong and maybe who are, you know, reluctant to vote yes will vote yes perhaps for that reason, because their compassion is so strong.
Yeah, and I suppose a lot of people, they've seen the cases like Savita Halappanavar, and, you know, they think of maybe people they know who found themselves in this situation and think, well, you know what, those people, well, in Savita Halappanavar's case, obviously it was tragic, but in maybe their friends or their sisters or their daughters' cases, those people have just been made uncomfortable. They've had to travel to England instead, or, you know, their life has just been made more difficult when they're already in quite a difficult circumstance.
Well, so this is where I think you need to understand what really is involved in the situation. For example, if a woman travels to England for an abortion, is the tragedy or is the crisis and the difficulty the fact that she has to travel, that she's uncomfortable, that it's awkward, that it's difficult? Obviously, that's part of it, but I mean, I would see it as including something else. And it's the something else that I think gets left out on the S side, and the something else is abortion. So I think if you're going to really understand the situation that we're facing in this referendum, the yes or no choice that we face, you have to not be blinded by compassion. In other words, I think compassion can be a great thing. Obviously, it's a great thing, but it can also be it can blind people. So if you have a selective compassion, which is very, very focused on one category of person or one type of person or one type of situation, that deep sort of feeling of, you know, suffering with the other person and wanting to help the other person can lead to a blindness in another way. So I think that there's a blindness here to the unborn child. I think there's been a kind of a treatment of the unborn child as inferior, as not equal, as not really human, as not really alive. I mean, there's all sorts of ways that the unborn child, I think, has been dismissed or kind of airbrushed out of the picture by the yes side. And it's only, I think, if you ignore the unborn child and the reality of the unborn child that the compassion seems to justify abortion, you know? Because if you take the unborn child into consideration, you then realise that the compassion has to be both compassion for the woman, the mother, and also compassion for the child. So whatever solutions we come up with politically and legally and medically, they have to be solutions that respect both, that love both. Otherwise, it isn't, you know, I would say just a genuine compassion that is inclusive of everyone. It is a selective compassion.
But I suppose the difference is people will say, well, in the case of the fetus, it's inside the woman, and so it's still part of the woman's body, and therefore it's the woman's body, and she has the right to choose what she does with her body and to make the decision for herself. And that maybe, you know, nobody makes these decisions lightly, but that one, she is in charge, and it's within her body that it's her decision.
Well, first of all, I don't think anyone is saying abortion is wrong because it's done lightly. So let's put that away. That isn't an argument. Is the embryo or the fetus, the unborn human being, the child, is this being a part of a body? It's a kind of a factual question, right? It's not just a matter of opinion. It's an actual factual question. Is this a body part? Is it like, you know, kidneys or the liver or, you know, or the womb itself? And the answer factually is no. I mean, genetically it's distinct. It might be a male. It's obviously inside the woman's body, that's fact. It's obviously connected to her. It depends completely on the woman, on its mother for the first, you know, 9 months of its development. That's the way human beings come into the world. We are gestated in the womb for 9 months, and it's only when we've developed a certain amount of the ability kind of to survive in the outside world that we can be born and survive. So up until then, we are utterly dependent on our mothers. Now, after we're born, we're utterly dependent as well, but no longer just on the mother. Other people can take over and, you know, help the mother, hopefully, to look after us. So that's a matter of fact. It's not the woman's body only that's involved. So if we treat it as if it was just the woman's body that's involved, we're treating the situation, you know, non-factually. We're treating it in a way that is ignoring the truth. Mm. And you can't have reliable, good solutions to problems that are not based on the truth. You can't have social policy or constitutional law that ignores the truth. That has to be, I think, a primary consideration here. So, for sure, one has to acknowledge the fact that there's a very serious, you know, implication for women when they're pregnant, and a crisis pregnancy is a terrible thing for a woman to deal with, and therefore we have to make sure as a society to make the medical and the social and financial resources available to help women in those situations, for sure. But if we vote for something which is based on a lie, that this is not a real human being in his or her own right, the unborn child, that there's not two human beings involved, the mother and the unborn child, but only one, the mother, or the woman who's pregnant, I think any social policy or law based on that kind of inaccurate, you know, untrue understanding of things will be really bad, but also deadly. I mean, literally, it will end up justifying, supposedly, the deliberate attack on these unborn children. And the numbers will be huge. If we can go by the numbers at present, including abortion pills and women going to England or whatever to get abortions, it's going to be maybe 5,000 a year, perhaps even more. If our abortion rate became anything at all like the abortion rate in the UK, like that's... For every four babies born, there's an unborn child aborted. Our abortion rate's much lower than that. Obviously, no abortion rate's good. I'm not saying that, but there is a chance, I think, that if the yes vote were to succeed, we would have a change in culture here, because we'd have the normalisation of abortion, not just kind of allowing it, but it would become something looked at as healthcare. So it would be a gross injustice and a widespread injustice throughout the country, in GP surgeries and in hospitals and abortion facilities being set up and so on. Like, it's a stunning thought. It's almost very hard to get your head around it, really. So that wouldn't be right.
I mean, I suppose, what about the fact that maybe women will just try to do their own backstreet abortions, that the thing will, you know, you hear horror stories of countries where there is no access to abortion and women end up dying in these situations.
Yeah, I mean, one has to be concerned about that, obviously, but it is interesting. I mean, looking at it with a cool head, the backstreet abortion issue and the hard cases have been used elsewhere in trying to get abortion legalised. It's happened in the UK, it's happened in America. It's the typical way that you get people to have compassion and to allow abortion to be legalised. Any solutions to those kind of problems have to be just. Just the same as any kind of healthcare, any kind of law has to be based on justice. And justice means respecting people, respecting human beings and their rights. So any kind of solution that we have to try and deal with women's health issues has to be one that doesn't dismiss a whole category of human being as a non-person. It can't just say, well, we'll solve the problem of women having to go to England, or we'll solve the problem of women taking abortion pills and, you know, risking their lives by... let's just legalise abortion for the first 12 weeks, you know, for any reason, and for the next 12 weeks for, you know, somewhat restricted reasons, and that'll solve our problem. But it might solve one problem. And if that's all you want to do is just solve that one problem, great, it's all fine. But what about the cost? What about the effect of the solution? If the solution is one that creates another problem, which is the deliberate killing of literally thousands of innocent human beings, then it's not really a solution. And it might seem to be a solution, but that's just an appearance. The reality is, unless you turn a blind eye to the cost, So again, in the past, for example, people thought slavery was important for the economy. You know, to have a country that kind of is flourishing and prosperous, you needed all these slaves to do all the work. So if you just think all you want is a good economy for yourself, slavery's fine. That's only if you can turn a blind eye to the slavery. So the same thing is happening here. If you turn a blind eye to the unborn, to their reality, their life, their rights, the justice that is due to them, well, then these solutions look fine. Mm. But that's because you're turning a blind eye. You can't turn a blind eye.